8. It was late August.
How much money do you have?
Penny said. Barbara opened her purse and got out the coin purse. She showed Penny her money, 3 tens and a 20, and some ones rolled up with a rubber band.
All right,
Penny said, nodding.
It's enough? Yes. You already have your ticket?
Barbara showed her the ticket. The first bus was already starting to leave. It pulled out, away from the station, moving along the road with a roar. Penny and Barbara stepped back, away from the curb. The driver of the second bus brought his bus up to the loading platform, and the small group of people began to pick up their suitcases and shuffle forward. Penny took Barbara's hand.
Good luck, honey.
She grabbed her around the waist and hugged her hard.
And remember, if you get into any trouble in New York, call me and Felix. We'll come up there if we have to. I better hurry,
Barbara said.
He's going to pull out.
She caught hold of her little bag and ran to the door of the bus. The other people had all got on. The driver started up his motor, shifting gears. Barbara clambered up the steps and handed him the ticket. He punched it and gave it back to her. She pushed down the aisle to the rear. The bus began to move while she was still on her feet. She clung to a seat handle and lowered herself into the seat, still holding on to her bag. An elderly man sitting next to the window put down his magazine.
"Want me to put that up in the rack for you, miss?"
he said. She said no very quickly and clung even more tightly to the bag. The old man returned to his magazine. Barbara sat holding on to the bag, looking out the window past the old man's glasses at the streets moving by. In New York, she checked her bag at the depot. She found a telephone booth and called the radio station.
"I'm sorry, lady," the man said patiently. "I can't tell you that. It's not the policy of the station. I'm sure Mr. Tilden wouldn't mind, but it's the policy of the station not to..."
"You can tell me when he broadcasts, can't you?"
"Certainly," she heard him moving some papers. "He'll be on the air tonight at 9 o'clock. That's the starting time of his program."
"Will he be in the station before the program?"
"I don't know that."
She thanked him and hung up. When the taxi let her off in front of the station, it was almost 8:30. She hurried along the gravel path, looking around uncertainly. Was this really the place? She saw a small modern building, one story, with shrubs and grass around it. A tall wire tower rose in the air behind the building. Barbara pushed open the door and went inside. She was in a large, well-lighted waiting room. There was no one around. At the end of the room was a great window, and beyond the window she could see a man sitting before a board of dials and meters and switches. The man leaned back in his swivel chair, turning slowly from side to side. He was reading something in front of him. Every once in a while he pushed a sheet of paper away. Barbara walked restlessly around the waiting room, her heart thudding. The room was painted in light pastels, blue and green. The ceiling was some kind of perforated fiber. The light came from recessed fluorescence. She sat down in a deep, modern metal and leather chair and watched the man talking. On the wall next to him was a big round clock and some photographs stacked up, a row of girl pictures, mostly breasts and shoulders. There was a tall file case of phonograph records and heavy covers, and two immense turntables next to each other, with long, thin tone arms. The man who was talking noticed her and turned his chair around. He was an older man with curly, light hair, a necktie, and a jersey sweater. He studied her a moment and then swung around away from her. At the end of the waiting room, a door opened. She jumped, suddenly tense. But it was only a big man in a blue pinstripe suit, walking with a young fellow in his shirt sleeves. They glanced at her and passed on through a door marked private. The clock in the control room read 9:05. Her nervousness increased. She took off her coat and folded it over the back of the chair. She picked up a magazine, but she could not bear to read it. Presently, she got to her feet and walked around, her hands in the pockets of her suit. The man in the control room put on a phonograph record. She could not hear it play, but she could see it going around. He got up from his swivel chair and lit a cigarette. He nodded to her. She turned away. On the wall, the hands of the clock were still moving. Had the person on the phone told her the truth? Was this the right night? Suddenly, it happened. She turned pale. Vern had come silently into the control room, beyond the window of glass. He did not see her. He put down an armload of records and removed his coat. He sat down in the swivel chair and pulled the microphone down to him. The other man bent down, resting his hand on Vern's shoulder. He said something to him. Vern turned quickly, looking through the window at her. He gaped, his mouth open foolishly, like some sea thing in a glass tank suddenly surprised. He started to get up from the chair, but the other man pointed to the clock. Vern nodded. He picked up a sheaf of papers and unclipped them, turning toward the control board again. The other man left the control room through a side door. A moment later, he came into the waiting room.
Hello, he said to Barbara.
Hello.
You're waiting to see Vern?
She nodded.
All right. He looked around. Don't you want to hear the program?
Hear it?
I can turn on the wall speaker for you.
He reached up to a box over the window and clicked a switch. The room filled suddenly with the sound of jazz music, a heavy beating Chicago orchestra.
Thank you,
Barbara murmured. The man went on outside, down the path away from the building. Vern was talking.
Men like Bix Beiderbecke represented a tradition in jazz in which, for the first time...
She listened. His voice was low and harsh. He was very nervous, she realized. He was sitting with his back to her, facing the control board. On and on, his voice droned. After a while, he put on a record, and the sound of his voice was replaced by Paul Whiteman's band. He got up from the board and came over toward the window. Again, he gaped at her, his hands stuffed into his pockets. His expression was impossible to read. His face moved, his eyebrows twitching, the corners of his mouth going up and down. Barbara went over close to the window. They were only a few inches apart. Suddenly, Vern turned and ran back to the board. He snatched up his papers and sat down, adjusting the long rod of the microphone.
Beiderbecke's contribution to the field of Chicago jazz is unfortunately rated too low because of his early and tragic...
She went back to the chair and sat down. A group of people opened the street door and came in. They stared curiously through the window at the men talking. One of them, a girl about 14, began to giggle. She pounded a young boy with her on the arm. Their parents led them on out of the waiting room, down the hall, and around the corner. Barbara sat back in the chair and tried to relax. At 9:30, the door opened, and a woman came quickly into the waiting room. She stopped, breathing hard, her slim body quivering. She gazed around her, eyes bright, her chest rising and falling, breathing almost like some kind of animal. She was tall and angular, with jet black hair falling down her shoulders in two heavy braids, which widened at the ends into plump tufts. She shot a rapid, keen glance at Barbara, and then padded over to the great window. With something small, she tapped against the glass. It gave off a tiny clicking sound, probably a coin. Vern looked up, startled. He and the woman stood gazing at each other, the woman breathless and flushed, Vern expressionless and grim-faced. He nodded curtly to her and then returned to the board. The woman continued to watch him for a few minutes. Then she moved away from the window. She walked across the waiting room and sat down in a chair a little way from Barbara. Barbara studied her out of the corner of her eye. What kind of person was this slender, oddly dressed girl? Was she waiting for Vern? Would she leave soon? The woman did not appear to be going. She opened a small purse and took out a cigarette. What strange shoes she had on. They were woolly, fur-like. Her legs were bare. She had no stockings on. Barbara began to wish she would go. The brightness of the woman's clothes disturbed her. She could not seem to ignore her, no matter how she sat. She picked up a magazine and turned the pages, but it did not help. The woman was looking at her now, watching her silently, her shining black eyes fastened on her. She leaned forward.
Say, darling, do you have a match?
Barbara's head jerked up. She shook her head dumbly and returned to the magazine. Her cheeks were turning scarlet. She could feel the blood rushing up. The woman was still looking at her. Why didn't she stop? How long was she going to sit, leaning toward her like that? The woman got to her feet. She walked around the waiting room. After a while, she wandered off down the corridor. Barbara heard her talking to someone. Presently, she came back, skipping from side to side carelessly, her arms folded. She was humming under her breath, repeating one syllable over and over.
La la la, la 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 la. La la la.
She spun around, one hand on her hip, her skirt sweeping out. Her cigarette jutted from her thin mouth, still unlit. How tough and cold she seemed. Except for her eyes, they were bright and hot, too bright. At last she sat down again. Her long fingers drummed on the arm of the chair, tapping in time with the music that came from the wall speaker. She was so much in motion, agitated. Was she nervous or just restless? Barbara made herself as small as she could in the chair and tried to concentrate on the magazine. Time passed. She glanced up at the clock on the control room wall. It was almost 10. Did the program end at 10? Vern had not looked at either of them since he had first seen this girl. He knew her, that was certain. But how well did he know her? She was waiting for him, that was obvious. She was not going to go away. At 10:05, the other announcer came back through the waiting room.
Hello, Teddy,
he said to the girl. Teddy? Was that her name? Has she heard Vern mention her? She could not remember. There was so much of the trip she did not remember. The girl seemed at home here in the station. She knew the announcer, and he knew her. Did that mean she worked here? The announcer appeared in the control room, behind the glass. He put a hand on Vern's arm, leaning over him to see the script. The last record from Vern's stack was coming to an end.
Well, that ties up another potluck party for tonight, Vern's voice came. We'll be back again next week with more of the same. And remember, there's a fine combo playing right now at the Tied Down Club. If you want to hear some first-rate creative experiments in the...
He finished, and the theme came on, some progressive piece she did not know. The other announcer sat down at the board. Vern gathered up his records and papers into a stack again. He put on his coat slowly, pausing at the control room door. Then, very carefully, he put down the records and got his pipe out of his coat pocket. He filled it with tobacco from a leather pouch. His hands were shaking. She could see them shaking through the glass. He snapped on a lighter and lit his pipe. Then he returned the lighter to his pocket and picked up his load. He disappeared from the control room. The girl Teddy got to her feet. Barbara's heart began to thump again. She was frightened. She put down the magazine and stood up too. Her heart was beating so loudly that she could not get her breath. Teddy glanced at her and smiled, a thin little smile. The door opened. Vern came slowly into the waiting room. He stopped and stood, looking at the two of them.
Hello, he said.
That was a gorgeous program, Ducky,
Teddy said.
I loved it.
Vern looked at her, and then at Barbara. She smiled uncertainly. Vern sucked slowly on his pipe, his face expressionless. After a while, he removed his pipe.
You people know each other?
No, darling,
Teddy said.
What's her name? Don't you want to introduce her?
This is Barbara Mahler,
Vern said.
Barbara, this is Teddy.
He had finished. He clamped his teeth onto his pipe again.
Hello, Barbara,
Teddy said. Her voice was bright and merry. She rocked back and forth on her heels, her eyes sparkling. Barbara noticed.
How long have you been here? Vern said to Barbara. In New York.
Just today.
Well,
Teddy said.
Where should we go? Have you had dinner, Barbara? Maybe we ought to go someplace where we can eat. What do you say, Vern?
Vern rallied a trifle.
That's a good idea, he said dolefully.
Presently, he added, This happened once before in Springfield, Ohio. Teddy laughed and took his arm.
Come on,
she said to Barbara.
Get on the other side. Do you think all three of us can fit in his little Ford?
I think we can,
Barbara said. They left the building and walked down the gravel path through the darkness. Vern's car was parked close to the building. It had not been there when she arrived. They got into the car and slammed the doors.
Where to?
Vern murmured. He looked at Barbara.
I don't know any places in New York. Wherever you want to go is all right.
How about Conn's?
Teddy said.
It's still open, isn't it? Let's go there.
All right, Vern said. We'll go there.
Conn's was a restaurant, down under the street level. They went down a flight of steps. It was not a fancy place. It seemed to be some sort of foreign restaurant. Each table had a red and white tablecloth over it and a candle in the center. They sat down and Barbara picked up the menu. There were dishes like shish kebab and borscht and pilaf with shrimps and yalanji dolma. For dessert, there was baklava and mello makarona. What kind of dishes were these? The waiter came over, an old man with a big black mustache. Vern ordered, and he went away. Barbara watched Vern. She had not seen him for over a month. He looked the same. He did not seem to have changed much since he let her off a block from her house that morning. He was staring down at the table in front of him. Teddy was watching Vern, too, watching everything he did. Her eyes were avid. What kind of a relationship did they have? Had they? She turned the thought away. If only she had known before she came to New York. But perhaps it meant nothing. Perhaps it was just bad luck that the girl had come to the station the same night as herself. How could she tell? If only she could talk to Vern alone. Teddy was humming to herself again, moving her head back and forth. Why didn't she leave? If only she would get up and go. But there was no chance of it. Obviously, she was here to stay. The waiter came with the food. He set the big metal tray down on the edge of the table and began to unload dishes of steaming food. His thick arm pushed past her, and she drew back. The food was spicy and strange. She did not like it very well. She ate only a little. None of the three of them said very much. Vern was glum. He ate quickly with big bites that filled up his mouth, pushing the food down with hunks of breadsticks from the glass in the center of the table. Teddy ate with rapid, nervous vitality, her fork flashing back and forth. Time passed. The waiter refilled their coffee cups. Barbara wondered what time the last bus left back to Boston. She should have noticed while she was at the depot, but she'd been too excited to notice anything. What if she missed it? What if she had to stay in New York? She glanced at Vern. He had pushed his chair back from the table, crossing his legs. Could she stay with him? Or would she have to go to a hotel? Now she did not want to do either, actually. But she could not go back to Boston without talking to him, without having been able to see him alone for even a moment. If only Teddy would leave.
Well,
Teddy said,
where we go now?
They went across the street to a little dark bar. There were few people in the bar. A group of Negro musicians were playing.
Let's sit here,
Teddy said. They took a table off in the corner, near the back. Vern went up to the bar and brought back drinks for them.
Did you come on the bus?
Teddy asked Barbara. Barbara nodded.
How was it?
All right.
Where are you staying?
Barbara hesitated. She managed not to look at Vern.
I guess I'll go back tonight. I thought I would stay with some friends, but they're not here. They went out of town.
That's too bad.
They didn't know I was coming.
Vern looked up at her. How have you been?
Fine.
Were your parents surprised to see you back so soon?
They were a little surprised.
How are Penny and Felix?
They're fine. They're married now. They said to say hello to you.
You looked at her keenly. They know you came up here?
Penny drove me down to the bus station.
Where are you from?
Teddy asked.
Boston.
Boston? That's a nice town.
Yes.
Do you live there?
Yes.
What do you do? Go to school?
I graduated this spring.
What did you major in?
Political science. I thought of going into some kind of social work.
Teddy smiled.
That should be interesting. There are plenty of people to salvage all the time. You see them everywhere, don't you, Vern?
He nodded.
I'm finished with my drink,
Teddy said.
How about another?
Vern stirred. All right. He started to get to his feet.
I'll call her over.
Teddy waved to the waitress standing by the bar.
Sit down.
The waitress came over, collecting their glasses on a small tray.
What'll it be?
Martini for me,
Teddy said. Scotch and water. They looked at Barbara.
I don't want any more. Nothing for me.
She shook her head. The drinks came. Vern finished his quickly. Barbara listened to the music in the background. It was getting late. How late? She could see no clock.
What's the matter?
Teddy said.
I was wondering about the last bus. I don't know when it leaves.
You're really going back tonight?
Barbara nodded. Vern grunted. It's a hell of a long way to come. He pushed his glasses up, rubbing his eyes.
What do you mean by that?
Teddy said. I mean it's too bad she has to go right back. Can't you stay at a hotel? He adjusted his glasses into place, regarding Barbara solemnly.
I don't want to stay at a hotel.
Why not?
I hate hotels.
Vern considered this. He finished his drink. After a time, he looked up at Teddy. Teddy, what do you...
No chance,
Teddy said firmly. She smiled at Barbara.
If I wasn't full up, you could stay at my place. It's too bad we didn't know you were coming.
Vern got to his feet. He went over to the bar with his glass and sat down on a vacant stool. Presently, he came back with the glass full. Refill. He sat down at his place. Barbara and Teddy watched him drain the glass. He set it back down with a sigh.
Vern,
Barbara said. He looked sleepily at her. What is it? She hesitated. Both of them were watching her. Vern seemed to be staring right through her. His gaze was oblique, unfocused, as if he were seeing into another world, a world that lay someplace behind her. She chose her words carefully, watching his face.
Vern, I wish I could talk to you before I go back.
He frowned. What about?
I just want to talk to you. I came up here to see you.
Her voice sounded forlorn.
Well, I'll go off,
Teddy said merrily. She pushed her chair back, one hand on the table.
I'll go into the powder room and sit for a while.
There was silence. Don't go, Vern said. Barbara's heart almost stopped beating. She bit her lips, tears spilling into her eyes. She turned her head away.
Well, I'll be glad to go,
Teddy said happily. She eased herself back down in her seat again. Vern said nothing. His body sagged. He was resting his arms on the table. His chin sank down slowly until it disappeared into the sleeves of his coat. It never rains, but it pours, he murmured.
What?
He shook his head. After a time, he reached out his hand and took Teddy's unfinished drink. Teddy said nothing. Vern drank it slowly.
Good,
he said. He removed his glasses and put them into his coat pocket. He seemed to be slowly coming apart. He put his head on his arms, closing his eyes. His body was limp, like straw, a limp bag of straw. Barbara watched him. She said nothing. Finally, Teddy stirred.
It's late.
What time is it?
Barbara said.
1:30.
Vern lifted his head. That's not late.
It's pretty late.
No. Vern waved his arm. The waitress came over to the table. Do you think it's late? Vern said.
We don't close for some time yet.
Bring me another scotch and water. Vern looked around. I guess that's all. The waitress went off. Why don't you all join in? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong,
Teddy said. Vern pulled himself up on his chair. He took out his glasses and fitted them into place. Well, Barbara, he said. How do you like it in the big city?
It's fine.
Is this the first time you have had the pleasure of coming to our great city?
I've been here before.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. It's a fine thing to get out and see the world, isn't it? She nodded. One should travel. To the mountains, up in the hills, mountain stream, trout, campfire, or the ocean. I sometimes go up the coast. His voice was dull, indistinct. It faded off. Up the coast, where the great surf beats endlessly, the sea. I like the sea.
I know,
Barbara said. Vern's eyebrows shot up. Do you? He nodded. So,
Well?
Did you meet Vern at Castle?
Teddy said suddenly.
Yes.
Then you must be the girl that came back with him. I remember now. He did say she lived in Boston.
Teddy studied her with interest.
So you're the girl.
Vern told you about me?
Oh, yes.
What did he say?
Vern thinks a lot of you. He was very, shall I say, enthusiastic. He was very enthusiastic about you.
Oh,
Barbara murmured.
I think a lot of everyone, Vern said thickly.
Sure you do, Vern,
Teddy said.
That's what's so nice about him, Barbara. You'll find that out if you should ever get to know him better. He's so thoughtful. He thinks so much of everyone. Everyone's his friend. He loves everybody.
Vern grunted.
The whole world is one great warm family to him. He feels everyone's his friend. He loves us all. He wants to spread his love around everywhere. Right, Vern?
Vern did not answer. His eyes were shut. His head rested against his arms. He was breathing heavily. Teddy prodded him, watching him. He did not stir.
Vern,
she said sharply. There was no answer. Teddy leaned back in her chair. She lit a cigarette, taking Vern's lighter from his pocket. She sat for a time, blowing smoke across the table, around the empty glasses, around Vern. Barbara sat tensely, twisting her hands together, knotting the arm of her sleeve.
We owe for the last drink,
Teddy said. She stubbed her cigarette out abruptly in the ashtray, then she waved to the waitress. The waitress came over.
How much?
65 cents.
Here's the money.
Teddy took a bill from her purse and gave it to her.
Keep the change.
The waitress started to gather up the empty glasses on the table. Teddy waved her away. Presently, Teddy leaned over close to Vern. She peered intently at him.
Come on, Ducky. Time to go home. Come on, let's wake up.
Vern did not stir.
Help me, dear,
Teddy said to Barbara.
What'll I do?
Teddy stood up.
Take one arm. We'll get him up on his feet. Sometimes he comes around when he's on his feet. Take his left arm.
Barbara went uncertainly around to the other side of the table. She tugged at Vern's arm. Vern pulled away.
Come on,
Teddy said patiently.
Time to go.
They got him up on his feet. Two men at the next table wanted to help, but Teddy waved them off. Vern began to stir a little.
Hold on,
Teddy said.
Don't let go of him.
Barbara held on to his arm.
Let's go, Ducky,
Teddy repeated.
Let's go the whole way, all the way to the door, out to the car.
Jesus,
Vern said thickly.
Let go.
Can you make it?
Yes.
They let go of him. He walked unsteadily across the room to the door without looking back. His feet shuffled. He bumped against a table. Teddy put on her coat quickly, gathering up her things.
Let's go.
She and Barbara followed after him. When they got to the door, Vern had already crossed the sidewalk to the car. He was trying to unlock the door, pulling the handle down dully. Teddy found the key in his coat pocket and unlocked it. She helped him inside. He tumbled onto the seat and lay, his arms outstretched, his head forward.
Get in,
Teddy said to Barbara. Barbara slunk silently into the car, beside Vern. Teddy walked around to the other side and got in behind the wheel.
Close your door, pull it shut.
Barbara closed the door. Teddy turned the motor on. She let it run for a few minutes. Presently, she let the car inch forward.
Anyone coming?
No.
The streets were deserted. The stores were closed up tight, their neon signs turned off. No one was in sight.
What street is the bus depot on?
Barbara faltered.
Why, I...
Don't you know?
I think it's at...
Never mind. I can find it.
Teddy started the car up. They drove slowly down the empty street. At a red light, Teddy stopped. She got out her cigarettes. She offered the pack to Barbara, but then pulled it away.
That's right, you don't smoke.
After a while, Barbara said,
Did Vern tell you very much about me?
Not much. How old are you?
Why?
I just wondered. It doesn't matter.
I don't see why you asked,
Barbara murmured. Teddy surveyed her.
You better go back to Boston and get started on your welfare work.
Barbara slunk down in the seat and did not answer. They reached the bus depot. Teddy drove the car up to the curb. A couple of bus drivers were standing together, smoking and talking. She rolled the window down.
Hey!
One of them stepped over.
What do you want?
When does the bus leave for Boston?
He looked at his watch.
About 10 minutes.
Thanks.
She rolled the window back up and drove on. After a minute or so, she parked the car and turned off the motor. They sat in silence.
You have your ticket money?
Teddy said. Barbara nodded. She took a deep breath.
You know where to catch it?
On the seat between them, Vern stirred. He grunted, moving a little. He lifted his head.
Vern,
Barbara said. He groaned and turned over, his head in his arms, sinking down into a little bundle, a soft, shapeless heap on the seat. She gazed down at him. His knees were pulled up, his shoulders pulled together, a little wadded-up bundle. The little tailor, his glasses falling off, hanging from one ear.
Come on, Teddy said. You'll miss your bus.
She reached past Barbara and pushed the door open. Barbara hesitated, uncertainly.
Teddy,
Hurry up, get out!
She slid from the seat onto the sidewalk. The pavement was cold. A wind blew about her.
Good night,
Teddy said. She slammed the car door. A motor came on. The car drove off down the street into the darkness. Barbara stood watching it until it disappeared and the sound died into silence. Some people waiting for the bus observed her with interest. A sailor, a girl, a middle-aged man. She walked slowly into the depot.